You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, you know what? It's going to be pretty warm out there today.
It is. I mean, the sun's out. It's looking pretty good. It's a good morning. It's a good Thursday morning. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We were joking about it there right at the end of Jeremy and Joe, Nate Geary filling in for Joe DiBiase. The Sabres, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're joking, you know, the parlay killer and the must-win killer, you know, what have you. You know, like a serious moment, Sabres winning tonight is kind of big. Less so maybe in the standings. I mean, they're still going to be hanging around last. I think goal difference.
More so
be able to
in
jump.
Your hearts.
Yeah, I think they'd be able to jump Columbus and that's it if they won tonight just based off goal difference. But yeah, it's much more in your hearts. They would have won four straight. It's the win they get right after they make the change at general manager. I think all the points were right that, you know, it's a bunch of guys now having to sit there and go, all right, we got to prove it to a new guy. And it's a guy that has a history of being very aggressive and is willing to make moves.
Would be ironic if you passed the team that he was dismissed from.
Be fun.
Yeah.
For like 48 hours, it'd be fun.
It'd be noteworthy, at least.
I look at tonight's game. I'm excited to watch. I want to watch
this. They really are
in
last place again.
But yeah, like,
annoying.
It won't mean much to the standings, but it would also be, for me, it more to the loss, how deflating it would be. I mean, this is the third straight show we're starting with the Sabres. When's the last time that happened anywhere on the station? Three straight days starting with the Sabres.
Well,
it would
news
be
would...
such an air out of the balloon kind of feeling of, yep. We're the same team. Yeah, I don't know why I cared for the last, you know, 48, 72 hours. And everyone moves on with their life. Bills, Browns on Sunday.
I think that makes it pretty critical for the team in terms of optics. There is, an opportunity here to kind of not just get something going here. You've already won three in a row, but and for the first time this year.
Mm-hmm.
But now the general manager, who they didn't introduce to open the season because they knew he was going to get booed, has been dismissed. It's a move that is, I guess I'll say, like, popular amongst the fan base. I don't want to, like, disrespect a man on the way out, but at the same time,
it's fairly popular amongst the fan base.
It's well-liked. It's a move that, honestly, people wanted to see happen. I mean, I've wanted to see that happen for the sake of the team and for Buffalo to get better. I didn't really have much faith in this team overall because of who was running it. And yet every year I try to do the same thing. I keep trying to tell myself, no, that, like, it could work. It there's talent. They have pieces there. Adams does make a couple of good acquisitions. Like, there's something there, right? And I try to tell myself that every year. And sometimes I even try to use this microphone and tell all of you that. And then I fell for it again. And now it's to a point where you just, okay, now you got the new guy. But Kekalainen also offered up zero excuses. He says he has full autonomy over the hockey operations. He is a very aggressive type of person when it comes to acquisitions. He is an aggressive person when it comes to roster moves. If they can't get Tuck taken care of with a contract, hey, he's going to get shipped out. And it's probably going to be for a piece coming back that should be playing right away. I'm very interested to see what happens here in the coming months. I'm not worried about this season with the postseason. I'm not. You're in last place again. You let the lame duck general manager run the team for 7 months after hiring Kekalainen. And surprise, surprise, the guy that you had to get an advisor for still didn't get the job done with the vision that he's been putting together. All of a sudden, yeah, it's what Paul Hamilton says with us all the time. It's like, the amount of teams you have to jump is every single one of them. And even when you are playing well, as long as other teams are being mediocre, unless you rip off an 8-game winning streak, that's the only way you're climbing the standings, even in the mediocrity-defined Atlantic Division. Because you are still the worst, and not just the Atlantic Division, in the Eastern Conference. Again, the leader is 9 points ahead of you. Zach, the leader of the Atlantic Division is 9 points ahead of you. And yet, you have to vault every single team.
Well, I was even going to say, too, like, even that number's grown. Like, it used to be, like, it's 6 points. It's really not that much to essentially flop the or flip the entire conference. Now it's starting to balloon up. And of course, that makes sense. The season has gone on, and the Sabres have gone on these extensive losing streaks. Nothing to the extent that they have the last few years, but they have had points where they just cannot pick up points. And now, yeah, even winning three in a row, it really hasn't done anything to the standings for them.
But this is the damage they did to the start of the year, Zach, where the 3-game win streak puts them at 5 road wins on the year. That's still tied for worst in the conference. That's still tied for worst in the league. And they just did a lot of reparation to it.
Yeah.
By winning 3 in a row. That's the damage they did to start their year. So, yeah, I'm not worried about this year with the playoffs. I'm really not. And I don't like resigning myself to it on December 18th for the second year in a row. But this is how you get fired as a general manager. Because you are in last place again. And it's unrealistic to look at the playoffs again before Christmas. That's how you get fired.
Yeah, and as much as Kekalainen and respect to him wants to talk like not dead yet, there's plenty of hockey, and that is all factually true.
Numerically, it's also true.
It's all factually true. It is hard for me to sit here and not look at the season as more just I want to just see the foundations change. Right, it starts tonight. You know, if you can get a win against Philadelphia, keep the good feelings going and start to push forward, that would be great. I also, though, have seen this specific roster lose games like this all the time.
And that
and that's
thing.
Where, as much as I'll give Adams blame, I think a lot of this does lie with the roster and just
– the roster that he constructed, though.
The roster he constructed.
Let's call that what that is, too.
Absolutely. But – and that's where, like, I joke and I'm like, you know, it's Jeremy's thing, so I'm not going to say it. But, it you know, must win, right?
I'll call it should win.
Should win. I do so.
Therefore, we don't infringe on trademark.
Right.
It's a should win.
But in many ways, I do also fully expect Philadelphia to win because that's what this
team are they starting
does.
Samuel Harrison tonight? Because I can't stand that mid goaltender becomes the second coming of.
They do that a lot.
Hasek. No, this player in particular. Harrison's not good.
They do that a lot, where it's a backup goalie or a goalie that's not good, has his game of his life because their chances aren't even quality.
You want to look at his splits against the Buffalo Sabres?
No, I'm assuming it's bad.
He's incredible.
Oh, he's incredible.
He's okay, incredible good. With splits
so was,
against the
so
Sabres.
So I was right, yeah.
But yet, his career numbers? How is he a starting goalie in the league?
Yeah, well, plays the Sabres every now and then.
I guess so.
I guess that's it.
So... that's where it is for me of, okay, please don't let Harrison be in net. I'm scared of a goalie that's not good.
We'll get more on the Sabres hopefully today at 11 o'clock. Paul Hamilton, we'll see if we're able to make that work. At 11:30, we're going to have Bandits sideline reporter Dave Buchanan to jump on. Bandits got a little bit of a break here before the next game, I believe on the 28th. But we're going to start doing this, you know, every week, get a little bit of a check-in with the Bandits. So we'll do that with Dave at 11:30. And then at 10:30, what's coming up? Today, Sal Capaccio. Bills got their first injury report yesterday. The Browns, by the way, had like everybody on their injury report as well. I mean, it's just a lot of people. Bills, Browns, Sunday at 1.
Before we move on to that, I just wanted to wrap this up with the Sabres and how frustrating it has become with this team. But it's also something that comes back from Tuesday's presser. And that is, Jarmo Kekalainen called it out. You said how like the players, and I mentioned that it's Adams Rosser, but... Kekalainen had said it to the media, and he said in the presser, if I say it out to the people, I'm going to say it to you in your face first. Being outworked while being more talented is unacceptable. And I would imagine those words pretty much were said to the players by Kekalainen. Good. That means that you now know there can be consequences. And I think that that's the big thing here, too. The buzzword for the last couple of years, accountability, 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 right? I'm going to start sounding like Shores. You've got a lot of accountability in this place. But because of that, now you have a general manager that will show you the accountability and what it really means. There is accountability from the last general manager now. He had been dismissed for his actions, or because of his results, I should say. And now you might see it. Now there might be more of that accountability. I say might. Might's doing a lot of lifting here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Spider-Man with the trains.
Yep, just trying to hold it together.
Straining. But here's your opportunity to show, okay, message received. And I think it's not just big for the fans here. It'll be big for the locker room to win the first game. Back home. Where you're better.
True. Very true.
And you have an opportunity to start a new era on the right foot.
803-0550, the number to call. You want to give your thoughts on the Sabres if you haven't been able to yet, with this being the first game since all of this has happened. It's been a very busy week for the Sabres.
4 days off for them.
Hosting the Philadelphia Flyers. A bit of a weird start time, though. It is a 7:30 start time, so 6:30 pregame right here on WGR. To the Bills, though, of course, they got their week started yesterday with the injury report. And with that, it's guys like Christian Benford, Terrell Bernard, and Mecole Hardman being limited. They did open up the 21-day window for Hardman, and then for not practicing, it's four guys. Deion Dawkins with an illness, Dalton Kincaid with a knee, and then Jordan Phillips and Matt Prater. Those two last ones were expected. Phillips with an ankle, and then Prater were kind of not expecting for a few
weeks.
They
signed Badgley.
Yeah, and ultimately Prater's on this because he's not on IR, and Badgley's not even on the list yet. Excuse me, on the 53-man roster yet. I don't know how much to take from all this. We'll see about today with Kincaid. Yesterday was a walkthrough. We've been seeing for weeks, by the way, with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, where he just kind of like either misses a Wednesday or Thursday practice every week. Yesterday was due to flu symptoms, but for the most part, the last like month and a half, he's just like missed a practice every week. So this could be nothing, and it could be one of those things where it's the end of the year, it's a walkthrough, he doesn't need to be out there. We're trying to manage his knee injury. We need him on the field on game days. But Derek, they're in such a weird spot now the rest of the way. It's a wonderful win against New England, and it's a wonderful win in the sense, too, it sets them up really nice with the remaining bits of their schedule. It's a Cleveland team that is allergic to offense, a Philadelphia team who's in the NFC, and that game may not have any bearing for either team on seeding or division races, and then a Jets team that by the final week of the year might just be trying to pack it up and get to Cancun. They are in a really nice spot, and I do mean this because I joke about it that I kind of tweet through things, and like, when you see what I'm tweeting on Sundays or during Bills games, it's usually what I'm thinking in the moment. Some of it is more grandiose since I've been thinking it for a while, and I still sit here and say that I don't think this Bills team can win three straight road games in the playoffs. I don't believe that right now. Could absolutely change. Could absolutely be wrong. But where I sit right now, I just don't see it. However, where I kind of want to go with these next 3 weeks is just stay healthy. I think they'll run the table. I don't think the Philadelphia team is particularly talented. I think their second half performances, namely on defense, are really something to be encouraged by. And then the other two teams they play are a Cleveland team where yesterday Daryl Ryder joined Show and the Bulldog and said outside of Myles Garrett and Shedeur Sanders, I would be telling people to do anything else other than watching Cleveland Browns football. And a Jets team who, as I mentioned,
yikes,
by the end of the season will probably sit, especially when they're in Buffalo in the cold going, I just can't wait for vacation. My flight is tomorrow. Like, let's wrap this up.
And yet, at the same time, the other team on the other side of the field might have something to play for that
they
afternoon.
May, yeah. And so that's where it also gets to a point of, like, I could see that just being a wash.
Oh, my God. They're going to – oh, God.
So I do sit here, and this is true a lot of the NFL, where we don't actually have, Derek, like, any division winners yet.
We have only two teams clinched.
Right. Just for playoff spots. With the Rams and
we're in week 16.
And Denver. Those are the only two teams. We had division races that could have ended as early as last week with, of course, New England. And I think Philly can wrap theirs up this week. But outside of like a few, you know, seating spots, there isn't going to be much drama. We'll see about Baltimore and Pittsburgh and what have you. But I mentioned yesterday with the NFC, Detroit's two games out if they can't pass Green Bay for a wild card spot. So these next few weeks are really, I think, for a lot of teams, just going to be stay healthy, don't get hurt, don't fall apart. We'll see what happens. The one big game I'm legitimately excited to watch is Baltimore-New England. I still don't even know who I really want to win that game, though. Because if New England wins, it really doesn't do much for the division race. And if Baltimore wins, Baltimore might get in the playoffs. And depending on who you ask, you don't want that.
And it's kind of funny how this year, Zach, typically these conferences have almost had different stories to tell. You know, this year, they're pretty identical. The 7th seed is an 8-6 team that started out on a hotter way and then has faded a little bit. Detroit in the NFC, Indy in the AFC. The 9th seed in each conference is 7-7 and challenging for a division that has the worst record in their respective conference. Carolina in the NFC, Baltimore in the AFC. The difference lies in Dallas is still mathematically alive as the 10th seed, and Kansas City as the 10
actually,
has been eliminated.
As we sit today, by the way, Indy is not actually the 7th seed. It is Houston now.
No, I said that a team is chasing it.
Oh, yes, sorry, excuse me.
Yes, they had started out hot, and now they are over there. I don't know if I accidentally said 7 or not, so maybe I did. Maybe I did. I have memory issues. Don't get concussions. Where was I? Squirrel.
In the NFC.
So the thing is that they mirror each other in a lot of ways now. The NFC North has a surprising division leader with the expected and heavy betting favorite entering the season, Green Bay, chasing them. In the AFC, it's not North, it's East. The heavy betting favorite is looking up at another team that nobody would have predicted that has faced a weaker schedule to take advantage of. New England and Chicago are very similar in that parallel. I just find it fascinating. And probably your most dangerous playoff teams might be sitting in the 5 and 6 seeds. Buffalo, Seattle, and San Francisco.
Right. I think that's absolutely right to bring up, because we were talking about it, you know, as something we want to do when either the seedings are solidified or going into week 18.
The 7 seeds.
Yeah, absolutely. Houston. And kind of go through and like rank the quarterbacks. But yeah, like you look at that. So, you know, in 6 seed, it's a little bit less like that in the NFC. I go over to the AFC, though, and it becomes, Josh Allen in the 6 seed, Herbert in the 5. And then it's Bo Nix in the 1, and it's Drake May in the 2, Trevor Lawrence in the 3. And, you know, outside of May, that gets really muddy really fast. You go over to the NFC, Stafford 1. Boom, makes sense. Caleb Williams in the 2.
Jalen Hurts hasn't been playing well in the 3.
Yeah, and, you know, even Sam Darnold, and that's something we can talk about a little bit later on. You know, really almost since the first Rams game, a lot of the shine on him is starting to wear off again to end a year. The same thing happened with Minnesota last year, where it just seemed like, guys, he's going to make an absurd amount of money and probably be worth it. Is Minnesota really going to be stupid enough to let him go? And like the last month or so of the season and the playoff game, he just completely turned back into a pumpkin. It was the Sam Darnold, that this is the why, it's fourth team or whatever it was at the time. Then he gets to Seattle. Oh, he looks great. Oh, they totally botched this. And not to say Minnesota.
McCarthy has Minnesota maybe regretting it, too.
I was going to say, Minnesota now still is probably sitting there going, McCarthy's not that great. But Seattle's probably sitting here, and it's just, they're winning. The defense is great. Jackson Smith and Jigba's awesome. But Darnold hasn't been as good. He's not making as many tight window throws as he was before.
Right.
Tonight's game is going to be a curious watch because, I mean, Jeremy brought it up. The Rams couldn't really do much on offense, but Darnold was horrific.
Who broke him? The Rams.
The Rams. I mean, that was the same in the playoff game against with Minnesota. And so this has been talked a lot, but these playoffs are going to be so much fun to watch, just to keep an eye on. If you're a neutral fan and you have no rooting interest, it'd be a ball. Honestly, I mean, you don't have the named guys that you just know are, man, this can be a classic game. And I think this is where, I know there's been some people that have brought up the NFL is going to miss having the Chiefs in the playoffs. I actually do agree with that because of the great games neutral fans get.
Us
in Buffalo, we sit here and go, what are you talking about?
Well, yes and no, because I'm one of those sickos that wants the Bills to put them down. Right. I don't want that, Mickey Mouse championship, like, rebuttal if they do win one. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't have to beat Kansas City. And I'll be like, shut up, Chiefs fans. The Bills did help slam the door in your face with one of those 8 losses that you're chewing on. But I'm that sicko. I do want them there. And I think for the neutral fan, it's a villain.
Yeah.
How many villains do you have in this playoff field? Philadelphia?
As always, yeah.
And
the
then
specter
New
of the
England.
Old Patriots, yeah.
That's it. I think that's the end of the list.
I think
obviously Crosstown is where you get your hatred from people, but Buffalo might be one of them now.
I was just about to say, I'm like, depending on what fan base you ask, it's Buffalo.
But I'm talking like the average
the national
fan.
Perception, the average fan.
Like, I know there's 3 fan bases in particular. Oh, hang on, 4. Mm-hmm. I need to include the Ravens here. The Jets don't count. So if I'm looking at like Kansas City, Baltimore, Miami, and like New England, those are the 4 places where I'd go, okay, all you, I know you hate Buffalo. Jets might hate Buffalo, but they hate themselves more.
If Allen wins the MVP, by the way, this year, it is going to become the average
fan.
I'm just saying it's going to become the average fan.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, yeah, but then Baltimore even more so, even louder. But, you know, that's the Ravens' problem. The Bills might be that for a couple of pockets. I don't know if that's the case nationally, though. Because they're still the team that hasn't gotten through. They're still the plucky underdog, the lovable loser, the team that is good but never good enough. They haven't broken through yet.
They win one Super Bowl, though. It's over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
instant enemies. We will be hated by the entirety of football and maybe even the New Republic. We become the instant enemies of probably the football world minute it happens.
I have thought about that, and I'm like, that goodwill would go away fast.
So fast.
Because the Chiefs used to be that really cool, plucky underdog, because it was, you're taking down the Patriots. Oh, you lost them first, and then you won one. Good for you. Okay, now you've been here too long. The Bills have already been here arguably too long. They keep making the playoffs.
And you keep losing to one team in particular.
You'll at least have average fans go, man, I haven't seen Burrow play a playoff game in a while. You know, it's
been a couple years now.
It's been a bit there, you know, and even with the Ravens, like if they miss this year, there's going to be some years there where the Ravens didn't make the playoffs. Okay, I guess that's not as weird. You've had years where Lamar gets hurt and it's Tyler Huntley in a playoff game. Now maybe this year just flat out misses. Allen's been in the playoffs every year since 2019.
Since year two, he's been in the postseason.
And he's won a game at least since 2020. You get the Bills on your screen whether you like it or not. And the moment they win, it'll be, okay, I'm done with you. And especially, and I think especially true in this, Kansas City next year. What goes on there? Mahomes tears his ACL very late in the year.
He will not start on time.
He could come back. He could. I don't want to say
definitely.
He probably won't start on time. And so then it'll be probably Chiefs maybe for two straight years. Don't get back in the playoffs. Then you have the redemption story, right? And we
Everyone loves a good redemption story.
Everybody does. And then you'll have the Bills going, they just won't go away. I'm tired of the fans. I'm tired of the Bills Mafia. Like, that's going to be the national perception. Oh, baby, I want that so bad in my life.
The minute, if it were to happen, Buffalo becomes an enemy very fast.
I want that so bad in my life. 803-0550, the number to call. A little quick look at the playoff seating and how interesting and how fun I think this year could really be in the playoffs, even if there's no change here outside of the Steelers being back in again as the four seed.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's gracious. If it weren't for Baltimore being any good, I would root so hard for them to not be in the playoffs. 803-0550 again, the number to call. We'll get more, though, on the Bills and their matchup this Sunday with the Cleveland Browns. Sal Capaccio joins us next. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here, hanging with you here on a, seems like a very nice Thursday morning.
It's sunnier.
Yeah.
It's warmer for some stupid reason. Yeah, I'm complaining about warm weather in December.
That's a choice.
Well, hang on.
That is a choice.
Because then it ices and then nothing is sacred
fair.
At that point.
That's
like,
fair.
That's the part that I get annoyed with. Like, commit to a thing. Am I right, Sal?
I don't know. I think it's okay to I don't mind like a little colder weather, some snow once in a while, you know what I mean? But after a while, it just drags on. You know what it is for me always? It's when football season ends, typically like back in the day, you'd like, oh yeah, it still have, you know, Sabres and kind of keeps your mind off things. Syracuse basketball. I don't have any of that these days to really get my mind off things, right? I mean, so it comes a little quicker. So the longer the Bills season goes on, the more we don't have to, I don't think about like the weather basically. And then you get then you're all of a sudden you're February, March. Oh, okay, maybe we're back into spring now.
Sal, I will say Syracuse basketball though. Nice win over Mercyhurst. I mean, they're two of the worst free throw shooting teams in the sport.
But, did you see what happened the last game they played, though? Do you know who they played the last game?
I do not.
They lost to Hofstra.
No, I did see that. Okay, I saw that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
This team beat Tennessee and then lost to Hofstra, so yeah.
You're getting no reprieve from that.
That's okay.
We do have the Bills, though. We got our first injury report yesterday. It should always be noted. This was a walkthrough. Four players, though, did not practice.
Yeah.
Two of which we did not know about, or at least Sean McDermott did not mention them with the media, that being Deion Dawkins with an illness and then Dalton Kincaid with a knee injury.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's a little heightened, you know, raise your eyebrow a little bit and what's going on with Dalton Kincaid again. But, you know, he has been on the injury report with the knee and the hamstring. Now it was just the knee last week, I think, not the hamstring anymore. But I think the reason why you're like, okay, what's going on here? Sean McDermott did not tell us that he wouldn't practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He basically said everybody would other than Jordan Phillips and Matt Prater. And we know Phillips and Prater already declared out for the game on Sunday. And then after practice, we get the injury report, and it says Dalton Kincaid didn't practice with the knee and Deion Dawkins with an illness. And you can understand, you know, Deion illness, okay, something popped up. But as far as Dalton Kincaid with the knee, you have to wonder, did something happen, you know, differently than Sean McDermott knew about? Or is it just a case of, you know what, the trainers just felt after McDermott had spoke with them and then spoke with us that, hey, you know, we're going to back off them a little bit today because we're managing it, because they have been managing it. So today's a big day. They'll practice in a couple hours from now, and we'll find out a little bit more.
And Sal, we've been talking about this all year, really, with their injury report and managing guys and maybe trying to just play the long game. It's got more of a magnifying glass now because the remaining three games, you can kind of sit here and go, okay, you're not going to just sit guys to sit guys, but you can play around with it a little bit more. You got a Cleveland team that is very low, in terms of the standings, an Eagles game, which may not mean a ton in terms of both the division race and just AFC seedings, and then your final game of the year is going to be against a Jets team that might be more concerned about just getting out of there than anything else. So, you know, it's a bit of a weird situation, I guess, the Bills are in. Not saying that they're going to change anything up too much, but they could be, especially with it being a walkthrough yesterday. Just hang out, you know, hang out on the side. We'll be fine. You'll practice at some point on Thursday and Friday and be just good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you do have to consider some sort of load management here for some guys with probably not getting a bye, right? Not getting the one seed again. So you're going to have to play three playoff games if you want to get to your ultimate goal and to get to the Super Bowl. But at the same time, you still need to win games, A, to get into the playoffs. They haven't clinched a playoff spot yet, so that's first and foremost goal, and that's important. And B, the division is still alive, right? I mean, now there's not a great chance. I think I'd look like 30% chance, whatever. But you still need, you know, the Patriots to lose one of their final two games. You still need to keep winning. So the division's still alive in some capacity. So I think you have to keep going until, you know, something like that is out of the window. Once you get maybe beyond this week, you know, some more results, maybe start thinking about that. I heard people talking about how next week against the Eagles kind of might not mean that much at all. You know what I mean? But if the Patriots do beat the Ravens, it still does, because you can't drop that game against the Eagles. So I think for right now, you still have to play these games with your, you know, full complement of players if they are available and healthy. That said, Dalton Kincaid last week, guys, had the lowest amount of snaps as a tight end on the team. You had Dawson Knox. You had Jackson Hawes. They outsnapped him. I wouldn't be surprised if that continues going on, just because they are managing him, apparently, and because those guys are good at what they've been doing in helping the offense.
Yeah, and Sal, that's something – you know, I'm maybe not a banging the drum as hard as our morning show is with the wide receiver room and the wide receiver train and all that stuff, but – I have been just this lackluster feeling when it comes to the wide receivers, not really doing much. But with all that being said, when all three tight ends are healthy and on the field, Sal, they look so different on offense when they've got all three of them.
I agree with you. I mean, I think it's just because options, right? You have more options. Like, you have Jackson Hawes is considered one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. He's only a rookie, and, you know, the Bills have used him like that, and they've talked about him like that. And then every once in a while, he can sneak and leak out and catch a pass, and we've seen that happen. We saw it happen last week. He had a nice 9-yard gain. And then you have Dawson Knox, who just Mr. O-Reliable, right? Steady as you go. He can block. He can catch passes. You know, he's not elite at anything he does, but he's really good. Every team could use a guy like Dawson Knox. So I think those guys are the perfect complement to having a guy like Dalton Kincaid, who becomes a matchup problem, you know, when he's on the field at wide receiver. But Dalton Kincaid's important. And, you know, him being on the field, him being healthy, it's important for them to have those matchups and be able to go to different sets. But you're right. When they have all three tight ends and you factor in Reggie Gilliam, they can really just have a lot of different options and ways they want to attack you. And I think that, you know, we've seen that, especially since we have seen, you know, Dalton Kincaid come back healthier the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, I mentioned it yesterday that I wanted to touch on this a little bit. And I hopefully they don't need it this week. But the Bills' second half performances, I think almost mainly on defense as well, it is incredible. I heard Sean McDermott, I think, speaking earlier this week with the media, maybe even yesterday, but bringing up the, you know, a story that he was told from someone in the league years ago about just, you know, it's nice to have a good staff, but you need to have guys that can make those adjustments, whether it be in the second half after, you know, halftime, or whether it's in the middle of a game, what have you. It really has, though. Say what you want about the first half and when they get themselves in these holes. It has been incredibly impressive, I think, throughout the year, even in games they lose, at how they're able to just flip a switch in those second halves and keep games tight that really, I think at times, especially like Atlanta, had no business being close.
Right, and you'd like a better start. There's no doubt that is recognized, right? I mean, no doubt about it. You know, and I think what's happened here is the Bills are not as talented, I think, in years past, especially on the defensive side of the ball, with some of the injuries especially and some of the ways that teams can attack them. So other teams are coming up with good game plans to start the game and say, okay, we're going to attack their weaknesses. And the Bills have to have a counterpunch, and that's what you've seen from them. They've had a counterpunch. They've been very good at these adjustments. And, you know, it's so funny. I know, for example, Josh McDaniels is a really good offensive coordinator, I think, right? He's had a lot of success with Tom Brady and, you know, the New England Patriots, and look what he's doing with Drake May. But last week, Josh McDaniels did not have any answers for what the Bills did when they adjusted. And I think you have to look at that around, you know, every coach and every staff. And the Bills have done a very good job at having counters and having answers for when teams come at them. And I use Josh McDaniels as an example here because, you know, not every staff is as great as it. Not every coordinator is as great as it. Not every team might have, maybe Josh McDaniels would be great if he had different personnel. Maybe they're a little limited, right? I mean, there's all different reasons that go into it. This goes back to your tight end question too. When the Bills have to make adjustments offensively, defensively, what they do have is some versatility on both sides of the ball. And they can plug guys into different spots and say, okay, let's try this a little bit differently. For example, Matt Milano. He is not used as a blitzer a lot. What did he do in the second half? They used him as a blitzer. And it was a really nice adjustment. It's not what you want to do. It's not your preferred option. But if that's what you have to do, then you get to it. So I'm impressed with the way that they've been able to adjust. I think it's a mark of a good coaching staff. Would you like them to start better? Absolutely. And when I have people say, well, they have such bad game plans to start the game. No, I don't think that's a bad game plan, but I give credit to the other team for coming up with something that they figure they can attack the Bills with, and it's successful. Trey White told me after the game, he thought the Patriots had a really good first 15, meaning their first 15 plays scripted out. They knew how they wanted to attack the Bills. And let's remember, they had 2 weeks to prepare, by the way, right? They can get in the lab and they can figure that out. So the game within the game is adjusting as the game goes on. And it's not just at halftime, folks. You would like them to adjust earlier, but as Eric Wood always says, like during the game, during the first couple drives is when you really start to make those adjustments.
And Sal, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that was something that I, you know, by halftime I was like, all right, that is absolutely true. They were coming off a bye, and Mike Vrabel is very good off the bye, a lot like Sean McDermott. So it is unsurprising that they had some more tricks up their sleeves, and the Bills kind of had to more react. And also, there were points, not to, you know, just give all the flowers to the coaching staff. I mean, there were moments as well where the team didn't execute properly. You know, how different does that game look if Brandon Cooks does bring in that catch? Now, all of a sudden, it might be a 7-7 game, and you're not reeling or anything like that. We don't have those fourth down decisions
right.
that I think were a little confounding to me as well. But turning our attention now to this week's opponent, the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if you were able to listen to Daryl Ryder yesterday on with Shope and the Bulldog. Boy, Sal, I mean, if anyone was excited for the game, it's hard to be excited about it after listening to Daryl talk about kind of the state of the Browns. And to be fair, you look at their record, you look at the statistics, it all kind of makes sense. Outside of their Titans game, by the way, their last 3 weeks, that's the only game they've scored in double digits. But sandwiched between that is two games where they can't even score 10 points. This also sort of feels like a game, Sal, where you kind of want to see a quote-unquote, not even necessarily get-right game for the Bills defense, but just a performance that they can kind of hang their hat on.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. It's so confounding, the Browns, because their defense is still really good. And you look at their metrics. I'm not just talking about Myles Garrett. And they're like the number one pass defense in the league. Number two is the Bills. They're very good against the run. All of their metrics on defense are really good. They've done Jim Schwartz does a nice job with that defense. But the offense is so bad that it kind of doesn't matter for the defense for them. That they're just always in positions where they kind of have to just, you know, you're fending off everything coming at them because, you know, the offense can't stay on the field. The offense can't score points. You're right. You go back and you look. I mean, they had a game where they scored 31 against Miami, right? Up until that point, that was in week 7. Up until that point, their highest total was 17 points in a game. Since then, they've crossed the 20-point threshold a couple times, once in a loss, once in a win. But they can't figure it out on offense right now. One of the reasons is, do you remember when the Browns had this incredible run-blocking offensive line we used to talk about all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Not the case as much anymore. They're just not as good on the offensive line. Some of those guys, it's attrition. They've aged out. They've had some injuries. There's no doubt about that. But they can't really sustain in the run game blocking as much as they used to. And Quinshon Judkins is a very good young running back, but he can't get going because of that. And then their pass blocking is also metrics, not that great. But part of that is lately, Shedeur Sanders holds onto the ball a little too long. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a rookie quarterback. He's still, there's some throws he makes or some plays he makes. You're like, oh, yeah, he's got the talent. But I think from a just start of the game to end of the game basis, I don't think he's completed. I think he completed over 55% of his passes one time so far this year. Like, that's a guy that I think that you, if you're Sean McDermott, you try to confuse, you try to, you know, make sure he doesn't understand and trust what he's seeing. And I think the Bills have an opportunity here to be able to do that. And if they have to win a low-scoring game, they win a low-scoring game. But the big key there is making sure that the Browns' offense doesn't get a play or two there.
Right. Like, Sal, I've hit the point with this game, and I guess even this season as a whole, just keep winning the games. If they win 21-10 on Sunday, whatever. Did you get out healthy? Yeah. Like, I'm at that point. I don't know. And as I sit here today, I don't think this team can win 3 straight road games to get to a Super Bowl. I'm happy to be proven wrong. I very much like how the current playoff seeding is sitting for them. And if, you know, the Bills can go from like the 6 to the 5, I think that'd be even better. But I'm at this point now, these final 3 games, just keep winning. I think they'll beat the Eagles. I think they'll beat the Jets. I think they'll beat the Browns. Just keep winning and stay healthy.
Yeah, the Eagles game will be interesting. Eagles last week obviously played a much better game. They scored 31 points. They also play Saturday this week. They'll have an extra day before they play in Buffalo next week. So they play Saturday this week. They get the Bills sandwiched in between two division games against Washington, both of them, by the way. And the Eagles are fighting for playoff seeding. You know, have you looked at the NFC lately, by the way, guys? NFC is really interesting.
I wanted to ask you about the playoff season. We only got a few more minutes here. I want to ask you about it. I love the AFC. The NFC playoffs would be just a fireworks show. I love every current matchup. The 2-7 is Green Bay at Chicago, which, like, that alone is great. 6-3, which is Philadelphia's the 3. San Francisco's the 6. They've always really matched up very well against Philadelphia. When they have a quarterback, they give them a game. We've seen what happens when they have to go to their emergency. And then, Sal, do you remember the game earlier this year? Seattle-Tampa. That's your current 5-4, and that was just big throw after big throw. I'm obviously going to watch more of the AFC because that's where the Bills are. But the fun teams, I think, this year are in the NFC.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of movement that's going to happen in both conferences, right? And you're right, that Green Bay-Chicago game, that's another. That is Saturday night as well. That's going to be really great, you know, to watch that game for sure. Right now, if Green Bay were to win that game, they could overtake Chicago for the division. And you literally, that game could be the difference between the 7 seed and the 2 seed. You think about that.
Awesome. And literally, it's going back to last year with Minnesota-Detroit. Where that you had that game late in the year, and it's like, oh man, these two should both be on a bye or at least have the top seeds. And it's like, nope, one of you gets the division and is cheering, the other one gets to go play ultimately in Arizona. I think that game was played in against the Rams. Just crazy. It's Saturday, by the way, a lot of good college football. We've got college football playoffs, by the way, FCS as well, Montana State at 4:00. I'm just, you know, first meeting playoff wise between those two teams in their 126 meetings, I believe.
Cool.
And then, of course, all the NFL stuff, which always surprises me when the Saturday games pop up. I'm never prepared for it.
Ha! Yeah, I totally get it. But this is the week that's going to happen. You're right about that. And, you know, you get a 5:00 game with the Eagles and Commanders. You get a Packers-Bears game at night, so that's very cool. And then some important games on Sunday, obviously, that matter to the Bills. The Chargers are at the Cowboys in the 1:00 window as the Bills are playing. Chargers, what they do, seeding matters for the Bills when it comes time for the playoffs. And, of course, Sunday night later after the Bills game, Patriots-Ravens, which is a really big game, you know, for the Bills and the Patriots to kind of pay attention to as well. Tonight, good one tonight, by the way, Rams-Seahawks.
I'm very excited for that game just to see – is Sam Darnold having kind of that same end-of-the-year run that he did last year? I hope not, because I am genuinely a big fan of his. I liked him when he was coming out of USC as well. But, Sal, we'll let you get out of here. What's on the schedule for today and tomorrow?
All right, so the Bills will be on the practice field here in early this afternoon, a little afternoon. And we're going to get, you know, down there and see if there is, you know, anything on Dalton Kincaid, if Deion Dawkins is back. So stay with me at Sal Sports. And I got to tell you, unfortunately, the last few weeks, something has come up from Wednesday to Thursday. Yep. So let's hope that's not the case, right? So just let's be aware of that today, that anything could happen. And suddenly there's an injury that a guy shows up practiced that wasn't on the report. So that'll be a bit of a storyline, I guess, today. And then tomorrow, Sean McDermott joins me for his regular weekly segment, and probably around the same time, around 11:15 or so, and we'll get the full, you know, injury status report.
All right, sounds good, Sal. We'll let you get ready for practice, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, thanks.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. We are late to a break, so we'll hit that, but before we do that, listen to Show Up in the Bulldog all week for your chance to win a $100 Woodhouse Spa gift card, courtesy, of course, of Woodhouse Spa on Main Street in Williamsville. Woodhouse makes it simple to give the perfect gift with their curated holiday packages. Everything from a deep tissue massage to hot stone treatments and incredible facials. Visit WoodhouseSpa.com. 803-0550, the number to call. Paul's not going to be able to join us at 11, so we're freed up until 11:30 when Dave Buchanan is going to jump on the show, give us the latest on the Bandits. They've still got a little bit of time off. Their next game is going to be on the 28th, but they have gotten a few games under their belt already to start this season. So he'll join us at 11:30, but we're free until then. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Every Friday, a winner will be announced during Football Friday with Chopin Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations at Alibaba Kebab. Derek Kramer and Zach Jones here for the wrapping up of hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Woo!
Zach, you have a fun fact that is very fun, actually, because
so
you talked
upset.
To me about this
I'm
before
so
the show.
I was off by a game because I brought it up to Sal. I was off by a game. It's not the 126th meeting. It's the 125th meeting between Montana and Montana State.
That is.
However, this is the first time they'll be meeting in the playoffs. They are two of the more successful FCS programs. When you hear FCS, think of North Dakota State, right?
Like,
it's the subdivision of college football, but it's still Division I.
Football Championship Series,
yes.
Not Football Bowl. It's Football Bowl Subdivision, Football Championship Subdivision. There you go.
Super fun. This is where the Ivy League also takes part now.
Yes.
Which they're finally back in the playoffs. It's their first year in a long time. They're actually in the playoff. I think Harvard and Yale both made it. But we're talking about the Montanas here. Montana State. It is a rematch from earlier this year. State won at 31-28. It's a super close game. It's going to be on, I believe, ABC. Yeah, ABC on Saturday at 4. I'm a college football junkie. I'm also just a big game junkie. You'll get me to like any sport that has a big storyline. And this is it. I've seen a lot of Montana sport. I'm saying a lot. That is wow, I need help. I've seen a lot of Montana sports writers talking about how this is maybe the biggest sporting event in Montana. I have no, you know, marriage to that state at all.
You have no idea if they're telling the truth or not. You're going to just believe it.
But I'm here for it.
But you believe it.
Yeah. And like,
I believe it too.
I like it too, just because, you know, this week also sort of started the run a little bit here of where we're sort of running out of like big sporting events every night. Like I mentioned only a few months ago where we were hitting that zenith point where it's like, we've got an NFL game tonight, we've got college football, and it was big game after big game after big game. The NHL started up, and, you know, we had the World Series going on.
Yeah, the MLB postseason, which was great as a whole.
Now we're sort of in that period where there may not be a high-end college basketball game going on, or one that's easily accessible, right? If you don't have Peacock or ESPN Plus, it might be difficult. Same with college football. Like, it's bowl games that, I mean, I've said it as the junkie.
They start
this
weekend.
You may not care. Yeah, the big games start this weekend, but this week it was, do you want to watch Troy and
somebody
Louisiana State or whoever?
Somebody we know thought a bowl game was being played at 5 a.m. this morning.
Actually, the replay was going on, but it was the Raging Cajuns and Delaware. I'm big for the big games, and it does seem to be whoever wins this one is going to be favorite to win the FCS championship. The other bracket is Illinois State and Villanova. Not by any means powerhouses in football, but I'm here for this. It's at 4. You know, you'll have the NFL games going on as well. It's just another game to go to, but I'm probably going to try to go to it because, you know, it's not like you get a ton of NFL players all the time from these ranks. You do, though, every now and then, from especially North Dakota State. Christian Watson, who is a big part of what Green Bay wants to do, comes from the football subdivision. And actually, Villanova,
yep.
Christian Menford. So not all the time, but sometimes. 803-0550, the number two call, Dave Buchanan. Silent reporter for the Buffalo Bandits is going to join us at 11:30. We'll get a bit of a look in on the Bandit season. They've got a little bit of a wait till their next game, the 28th, I believe. But we'll touch base with Dave here in just a little bit. But your calls are welcome. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Want to give your thoughts on Bills-Browns tonight. Sabres game as well as they take on the Flyers at 7:30. We'll do that, though, when we come back. Listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
In your mind, when you're not the quarterback of the Bengals next year,
I can't see that. No.
Have you ever both thought about the possibility of not being the quarterback here during your career, or
you think about a lot of things?
Oof. Whoa! Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. Yesterday with the media, and
you think about a lot of things. That is cryptic.
If you're a Bengals fan, the last 2 weeks have been awful.
2 weeks. Dude, 2 years.
Oh, no, I know. 100%. But in terms of just like, you don't even get a moment of reprieve because now every reporter, rightfully, is constantly asking Burrow about the initial comments he made. And everyone after that is not much better. And then, of course, you're losing games. You get shut out by Baltimore. The Bills come back on you. It's a nightmare. It takes a lot for me to think a quarterback really is going to move. That is one of those positions in sports. The teams usually do everything they can to make that work because that is the big money getter.
Right.
Not only just in ticket sales, but also in jersey sales, in the fact that you'll have more primetime games, so you're on television more, and everything with that. So most teams do everything they can to keep the superstar quarterback.
Even handing money to quarterbacks that don't deserve it.
Exactly, because you're like, no, the quarterback needs to be handled correctly. And in many ways, I think the Bengals actually did do what they could at times. Signing back both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, which is what Burrow wanted. The problem was they were cheap everywhere else, and now they're losing. And, man, it just—
Well, their offensive line investments were not high in the first place.
Yeah, not good.
And the parallels are coming into Andrew Luck.
And this may be revisionist history. I don't remember. I don't really remember Luck talking like this.
I don't—
It doesn't help either that his final season in the sport— They're a good team, and they win a playoff game.
They win a playoff game, but it is like he was sick of having to rehab everything. It mm-hmm. was like, as somebody that's been injured a good amount in his life already by now and has had surgeries, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's deflating to have to come back from surgery, even if you're a peak athlete. Like, it's not something you like to have to do. Nobody likes being injured. Nobody likes not having literally one of your limbs to do normal things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other part. It's you don't even get to do normal things, let alone your job. And that's the part that really gets to you. Luck did not say a lot of that stuff. You are correct. But you did start to see a little bit of like, the frustration settling in with him when he had to go to Europe to see if there was any further treatment that he can get. The
never,
owner,
never like when a guy goes to Europe.
The owner is calling him out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, can we do something? Ryan Grigson should still be tried for crimes against football. And you're seeing the parallel now in Cincinnati. An ownership group that has historically been bad or troublesome with its top-end players. The Trey Hendrickson saga.
Oh, yeah.
It has turned into a saga over these last few years. To a point where, yeah, you're not getting him back. Unless you franchise tag him for some, quite frankly, what I'll call dumb reason.
Yeah, really just to piss everybody off. I mean, that's literally what it would be. That would just be, to irritate everybody.
Yeah, that would be it. You'd be dumb. And now, though, the fans are going to be worried about Burrow. Is he going to stay? Is he going to become the next Andrew Luck? The fact that he says, you think about a lot of things. That doesn't mean he's going to go play somewhere else. That might also mean he doesn't play anymore.
Right, because you mentioned, too, it's not like a Stafford situation, right, where it's like, you know, Stafford dealt with injuries early in his career, but the later portion just became, man, he's just dragging a bad Lions organization around. Like, no one even really knows how good he is. Burrow, I think all of us acknowledge.
Everyone knows how good he is. Incredibly good. He has made a Super Bowl early in his career. There's something there.
Right. But likewise, with the Rams, I know Sneaky Joe has brought this up, I think, on air, but definitely off with us. The idea of, like, could the Rams get it? They're always an aggressive team. And Stafford, we've kind of danced around, is he going to retire? It's been the same thing with Sean McVay, too. But, you know, Stafford before the season wasn't participating in training camp because of his back. I mean, no one knew he was going to have this kind of season because of how everything in the season started. And McVay has danced around retirement rumors forever. And he just had a child as well. So he might be starting to think long and hard about his future as a father, and he's already got a lot of his legacy secured. I think even if he retires after this year, most people would say he's one of the better coaches we've seen in the last 25, 30 years. But the way you keep him is Les Snead sits there and goes, okay, I've got another disgruntled quarterback, one that's younger and can absolutely run Sean's offense. Let's give them the world. We've done it before, and it worked out beautifully. And they've got young players on defense, and they've got young players on offense with Puka Nacua. You know, Devontae Adams not necessarily young, but I don't know. The Burrow situation is just so – it's also eye-opening, I think. And for me, I always use it as one of those, like, you hear constantly, you know, you're wasting this guy, you're wasting that guy. Mm-hmm. And I can somewhat get there. For Allen, right? He's never made a Super Bowl. Burrow did with Cincinnati. He made the Super Bowl. And you can argue that, you know, we're wasting one of the best talents the sport has ever seen. Baltimore
right.
could say the exact same thing in the exact same phrasing. But with Cincinnati, or, you know, with Buffalo and with Baltimore, you never hear this out of them, even in the losses. Why? Because they're still good. They're still competitive. I mean, the Bills' floor with Sean McDermott and Josh Allen is 11 wins. Even when we're all complaining and going, I just don't like how the season is going. And I say it. I don't think they can win three straight games to win a Super Bowl or to get to a Super Bowl. Excuse me. They're 10-4. They're
casually 10-4.
Their floor is incredibly high. You can say that's a lot of Josh Allen. I'm not going to fight you on it. I think there has to be a mix because I see what only having a quarterback does to a franchise is not good.
Yes.
You have to have a mix.
If you have only a quarterback or only a quarterback and wide receivers, you don't have a football team.
Yeah.
You have a group of – you have three high-talented individuals, high-ceiling individuals that cannot make up for it. Hell, look at the other side. Myles Garrett is languishing in Cleveland. The man has more sacks than the entirety of the San Francisco 49ers this season.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
They have three wins. Again. Like – you do need to build things better, and I've been critical of Bean this year, but the roster's good enough, the coaching's good enough that there's a safe floor for this team in Buffalo. But looking back at the Cincinnati situation, and Burrow in particular, and I'm going to be really mean with this for only one group in particular, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals themselves. You deserve this. Because you, as a team and as a franchise, mishandle everything so egregiously on a constant basis that you do deserve this. You do deserve your first-round pick being a holdout into training camp. The only team to have that happen on rookie wages that are now slotted.
It's not even like the Jamarcus Russell situation.
Right.
There's really only so far you can go, but you want to get cute with the contract.
But yeah.
Now, there was a little bit there where it was also Shamar Stewart being like, okay, you, dude, come on.
But it's always you. Mm-hmm. It's always the Bengals.
Yeah.
It's always the Bengals. And that ownership group is, I would imagine, reviled. Because I can't stand them. I don't have any interest particularly in the Bengals. I look at them as an observer on the outside. That city probably, like, oh my God, like, Sabres fans with irritation with Pegula,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
tenfold, thousandfold that with the Bengals ownership and the Brown family. And I think that is probably where you get some of the most irritation that you could in a fan base. Like, oh, ownership is so bad. Yeah, you could be the Bengals.
There's usually always worse.
Because Dan Snyder's not in the picture anymore.
Right.
But ready? You could have the Bengals ownership. That, there you go. The negotiation tactics that they always seem to underhand and undermine and do it publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it always you? Why is it always you?
And even just go back to the same position, Carson Palmer still does not have any relationship with them. He had to retire to get out of there and kept playing. I mean, he goes on and plays with the Raiders, and he has a very nice second half of his career with Arizona. And you mentioned it's always you. That's why I do think Burrow is not in Cincinnati for the long term. It may not be this offseason. He will not finish his career in Cincinnati.
No.
He will have a good portion of the second half of his career with somebody else. I pray it's in the NFC. I pray it's somebody like Minnesota that goes, JJ missed. We need somebody. Like, I just don't have it be in the AFC, and partially don't have it be the Rams, because Sean McVay and what they do over there. I need them to not have a quarterback for
a little while. But that's why I say the words as cuttingly as possible. You deserve this, mm-hmm, as an ownership group. You deserve. They negotiated a contract within their stadium. If there's a stadium outside, like away from them, that has new upgrades, the city has to pay for those too.
It's incredible.
Like, to get those upgrades, because we want them now. Like, you're gross. You deserve every bit of the problematic issues that you've caused. The city, the fan base, they don't deserve it.
Even half the players don't even deserve it.
The players don't deserve it. None of them do. But you, the ownership, the management, I would even say the coaches don't deserve it. But you, the Brown family in Cincinnati, you deserve every bit of this.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's going to be a really curious watch. Because I also feel bad, because we're, you know, the station is very close with guys like Joe Goodberry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he even mentioned it when the Bengals did make the Super Bowl, that, you know, you only maybe get one shot at this. Like, you have to finish when you get there. And I'll say the exact same thing for the Bills. If they were to make the Super Bowl this year, I don't care what I've said previously. None of it matters now. If they make the Super Bowl, none of it matters. You have to go out and win, because you don't know.
Because
if this is your best shot and your only shot, not every team is going to be Kansas City, where you basically just pitch a flag at the start of the year, wherever the Super Bowl is going to be hosted, saying, oh, we're probably going to be here. Even if they're losing, we'll probably be here.
And that's the biggest thing, is that for Cincinnati, we have a definitive. They're not making it back here.
They're not making it back. That was their best chance.
And it is because ownership gets in the way constantly with that franchise. It's amongst the worst in sports.
Mm-hmm. Bengals, of course. I mean, by the way, we're talking, you can probably tell, even if you weren't even watching football, they're not in the playoffs this year. They're 4-10. They're out. With that being said, though, we were talking a little bit about it with Sal Capaccio, the playoff bracket and kind of where it sits right now. Derek, I'll tell you. I mean, outside of maybe wanting the Bills to be the 5 instead of the 6, I really like how this could play out for the Bills if Baltimore doesn't get in. Where it sits right now, just in the AFC, Denver, of course, is the 1. Then you have New England as the 2, Jacksonville the 3, and Pittsburgh as the 4. Your wild cards then are at the 5, Los Angeles, the Chargers, Buffalo at the 6, and Houston at the 7. That plays out, I think, wonderfully for Bills fans. I know Jacksonville's playing much better, and you'd have to go on the road and play Jacksonville the last time that happened. It was the worst played playoff game ever in history. I'll fight you on that. Anybody. That was an atrocious watch, and we were only all excited because we broke the drought. But outside of that, it was a horrific game.
Yeah, we got rewarded with, like, the worst.
The worst game.
Aesthetically, the worst football game, yes, you could have watched in a playoff.
This one would probably be better. I don't want to say definitively, but probably would be better. And I like how the Bills could match up against them. It's a rookie head coach. It's Trevor Lawrence, who, while is playing much better, is still sort of on shaky ground
You know what kind of scares some fans here?
The AFC South in general?
They don't. The Bills, in particular, with Jacksonville, don't have a great recent history.
They have an awful history with Jacksonville.
Last year's the only time that they kind of shake it.
Yeah, I mentioned the AFC South in general. You haven't won in Houston since 2005.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Colts, you have the Jonathan Taylor game, and even when they first make the playoffs, you almost lose to Phillip Rivers in your first home playoff game with fans in it. Or no, that's 20, so it's not even
with fans. Joe had the tweet about it, that the AFC South is the worst division in terms of win percentage by far in Allen's career. What the hell?
Yeah, I got nothing, because you have the Urban Meyer game in there. You lost to Davis Mills this year. You know, the Colts have just had a merry-go-round of quarterbacks. It is really
stunning. I'm just sitting here trying to find ways to make sure that I don't, like, have an exasperated sigh with a word. Like,
It's incredible.
Like, what? You're accidentally spiraling me into an existential crisis.
I know, and I'm happy
and
about
I know
that.
It's,
I'm proud of it.
I was going to say it's not your fault. Now it is.
I'm proud of it. But in a vacuum.
Hell.
In a vacuum.
The Bills can't solve the worst division in football. Because even the Titans, up until recently, they were awful against.
I didn't want to mention that, but they used to be really bad against Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. But so in a vacuum, you'd probably take Jacksonville, right? Just in a one-off play. Yeah, I'll go to Jacksonville and play them. It's Trevor Lawrence versus Josh Allen. Let's do it like just that. You're taking the quarterback running away. You're taking Josh Allen in that game.
Right.
Then, as a sixth seed there, I look at the 7-2. It's only happened once. That a 7 is beat a 2.
And it was in the NFC.
It was Green Bay over Dallas. However, you're giving me that Houston defense playing against Drake May in his first playoff game. I know it's at home.
Bills proved that don't mean nothing.
And I kind of like that matchup. I don't know how I feel about Houston's offense. They are getting better. That's why I don't really want to play Houston. But their offense is getting better now that Stroud's back. And it was starting to look like that even before he got hurt. But I like that matchup. And then Chargers and Steelers? Perfect. So if Houston upsets New England, which I don't even think would be a huge shock, then all of a sudden, Houston goes to Denver. Great, I get to watch those two defense beat the hell out of each other. And I get the winner of a Chargers team that doesn't have either their tackles or the Steelers, who I emasculated on their home field not a month ago.
I would probably tell you right now, the Chargers are going to find the most painful way to lose that football game.
100%. Oh, they will be in front the entire time, doing wonderful things. Interception. Oh, they fumbled it. Oh, they picked it up. It's going to be something like that.
The Chargers lose playoff games in some of the most painful ways possible. And I'm saying that sitting here in Buffalo, New York.
My fear then would come to the AFC Championship. If you're the sixth seed, unless Houston wins that, you're not hosting it. If it's Denver, and I would probably pick Denver in that game. Bonix is playing really good. And it does come to still. Like, I just sit here today, I don't see them winning three straight road games. It's hard for me to do it. They have been such a different team on the road in many of them. Not all of them. I mean, again, the New England game pointed to, they can perform.
It would technically be four, by the way, if you have to go to the Super Bowl. Because you're not.
Yeah, but I always put that as a neutral site. You got 2 weeks to prepare.
But you're not here.
You're not here, right? You're not in Buffalo. But that, I think that's the path to go. I'd also like, if you're the five, right, if all of a sudden you're going to Pittsburgh, that would be amazing if that's their
draw that up for me every time.
Yeah, I would love that one immediately.
Now
and then
said,
again,
you're
if it's still 7-2, great. I know that could get a little wonky because Houston, even, by the way, if they win out, and their schedule looks pretty nice. They play the Raiders this week. Then next week, it's at the Chargers. So that's going to be a huge game. And then week 18, the Colts are at Houston. There's a real chance here.
You need Jacksonville to keep doing their thing. They take on Denver this week.
Well, not even just that. If Houston and Buffalo both win out because of the tiebreaker, obviously Houston overtakes them. You don't want Jacksonville, obviously, or you don't want Houston to obviously win the division. There is also something to that, though, if you could be the sixth or the seventh, and then you might have to play Houston a little bit earlier.
Now,
I don't want to dance with that devil.
But if you win, say you went out, though, and the Bills and the Texans do ultimately, like, they claim their respective divisions, you're higher than them there because if you're winning out, you have the better win-loss total anyway. You don't have to worry about that head-to-head. So the Bills can take care of their business a little bit here and position themselves to the best advantage that they could, which is probably hit the five seed. Because, like, yeah, we're talking about Jacksonville. Like, you'd take the matchup, but I feel like the confidence level between going to Pittsburgh and going to Jacksonville is going to be a vast difference. You saw the Steelers couldn't defend the same play called 26 times.
Mm-hmm.
And they even said it.
Right.
Let me guess what they're going to over-defend on.
Mm-hmm.
Duo. And then the Bills are going to be like, nah, man. Well, actually, Joe Brady might actually be like, you still can't defend it. But that'd be wild. Could you imagine? You go back to Pittsburgh. They know you're going to run duo.
Do it again.
And then you just disrespectfully do it again to their face.
I think I'd love every second of it.
Oh, my God.
I think I would. Just because that would just be the ultimate just kind of – I don't like the Steelers. I don't. And so, like, if I can embarrass them a little bit more, it'd be awesome.
I don't like mediocrity, and Mike Tomlin is kind of the biggest case of that.
He is.
It is no longer the Titans. It's now Tomlin. So –
he's earned that.
He's earned it. Because at first, who was it? Mr. 9-7, Jeff Fisher, with the Titans. And that's how my hatred kind of grew there. Because you're never great. You're just there. Sometimes you have a good season in there, but you're never great. And now Pittsburgh's the same thing. You're not great. You haven't been since 2018. Actually, 2018 is the beginning of the end, actually. So 2017, the last time you were actually great.
Right, yeah.
Seen as a real threat. And now what are you? You're a shell of yourself. The standard's the standard. 9-8 Super Bowl confirmed. I'm not scared of Pittsburgh. If you have a chance to tell me Pittsburgh or Jacksonville, I'm running to the Steel City so fast, you might think I'm trying to get one of their terrible sandwiches with coleslaw on it.
On that, though.
That's right. I'm being disrespectful.
On that, though, with Pittsburgh, I think I've finally come to my answer. I'm rooting for New England against Baltimore.
Yeah. You want to put the Ravens out.
Yeah, because ultimately, if the division really, I mean, we talked with Sal, it's like 30% chance.
The Ravens have a ceiling. The Steelers don't.
Yeah, and their ceiling is low. Or the floor is low. And, like, that's the thing is, if Baltimore wins that, it makes that division race much tighter. And like you mentioned, I don't really trust Pittsburgh. Like, I don't think they're any good. So I want Baltimore to kind of take themselves out of this. It's gonna be a really fun 3 weeks just to kind of see how this all goes. The Bills will be in the playoffs. I mean, they're at like a 95% chance to make it. They can clinch this week. But how the seeding's going, yeah, the seeding could maybe point to. They could win 3 straight road games. They don't necessarily have to get the 2 or the 1 seed to be able to do that. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up next, though, we'll turn the page a little bit to the Bandits. Dave Buchanan will join the show, get a little of the latest on the Bandits. I think they've only played 2 games up to this point. Their next game is the 28th, and the next time they're actually at home is the new year, January 3rd. But we'll touch a little bit on the Bandits and see how they've started the season. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Picked up by Buffalo, and here they come back out at center. 4-2 Bandits here with a minute left to play to the first quarter. Burns scores!
Bandit season is up and running. They are 1-1 on the season. They open up the year, 15-11 win over Georgia. Last game, though, dropped it 9-8 in overtime to Halifax. It is a little bit of a wait, though, Derek, for the next Bandits game on the 28th at Calgary. The next time Buffalo is actually at home, it'll be year of our Lord 2026, January 3rd at home against Las Vegas. But for more talk on the Bandits, it's time now for our Bandits update. It's brought to you by Seneca Gaming and Entertainment. 3 great locations, Irving, Salamanca, and Oil Springs. We've got your game, and with that, we go to the Western Hotline. The sideline reporter of the Buffalo Bandits, Dave Buchanan, joins us on the Western Hotline. Dave, how we doing, man?
Derek, good to talk to you, my man, and excited about this new Bandit spotlight here on your show.
Yeah, and Dave, it's Derek and Zach here. We're both running through this one, but this is a new thing that we've got for this season, and it is for new things. A chase for a four-peat hasn't been done in the NLL before, so you are kind of chasing history to start the season, and on banner night, it was perfect. You raise it for that third time after that three-peat, and the Bandits go ahead and they win that one going away. I do believe it was 15-11 to open the season against Georgia, so it was a good start for them, but then a tough game against Halifax with a defense and goaltending in Halifax that has been on fire to start their season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the opener against Georgia, you know, things went pretty well, and they were going up against a Georgia team that has a lot of, you know, rookies on there. That was a lot of, for a handful of players on that team, they were playing in their first ever NLL game. And, you know, Buffalo used their experience to kind of take advantage of that situation. The game of Halifax, you're right, Warren Hill's the hottest goaltender in the league. He just started his season giving up 2 goals against, and then gave up, you know, just 8 against the Bandits. And I think some of it, too, is here at the start of the season for the Bandits, you have this kind of off-again, on-again schedule with these bye weeks, and you've got an offense that is different than the three championship runs. This offense this year is a little bit different with Chase Frazier and Chris Cloutier, you know, signing with Las Vegas in the offseason. So you got an offense that is still maybe looking for a little cohesion. You know, they got off to a good start in the opener against Georgia, scoring 15, but maybe we're looking for a little more cohesion in the game against Halifax. Obviously, Dane and Josh are off to good starts. I think Dane's got, you know, 7 goals in his first 2 games, which is great to see. But, you know, they're looking for a little more from the secondary scoring right now.
And that was the big story about the offseason was they lose Chase Frazier, they lose Chris Cloutier, and it hurts them a little bit with their secondary scoring because those two, especially in postseason runs, have been very important factors with that secondary scoring. Ian McKay, though, in the regular season picked it up a lot last year, and I would imagine that's the first face I'm looking at to see for who can step up coming up through this season.
Yeah, and again, that's one of the changes to the offense. I mean, last year on the left side, you had Ian and Josh, and you had Chris Cloutier in there supporting them. You know, now this year the left side looks a little different with Chris gone, and they still got Clay Scanlon slotting in there, but a different type of player than Chris Cloutier. And now they've got the bigger body on the right side with Mike Triolo, who was in the lineup against Halifax. You've got Lucas Nielsen. Expect him to get some more floor time this year compared to his rookie season. So these new pieces just, you know, you got to get comfortable with playing with Dane and Josh and DeHoga and Ian. And Kyle Buchanan, you know, they're going to keep figuring it out as we go along this season.
It might be a little hard though to get comfortable, Dave, to start this year. These are some staggered game times for them. I mean, you know, we have them last playing on the 13th, not again until the 28th. Is this normal? I mean, me and Derek were talking about it. There was something like this last year as well, where just it was weeks in between each game. Is this something normal with the NLL?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of life in the National Lacrosse League. You know, you've got 14 teams, and out of them, you know, a lot of them are not the primary resident of their respective arena that they play. You know, they've got to share floor time with NHL and NBA franchises and Disney on Ice and concerts and whatever's coming into their building wherever they play. So, you know, you're at the mercy of the schedule makers, not only with the league, but with the arenas these places play in. So the NLL's got to, you know, make the schedule, the season long enough so teams can fit in all these games with the dates they have available. So it's, you know, it's just part of the process. And for the second year in a row, the Bandits kind of start out with a stop and start run to their season. But, you know, business will pick up as we get into January and February.
Dave, back to the team on the court here. The other big story from the offseason being that Matt Vince is back for his age 43 season. He has been incredible throughout his entire career, and then even more so with Buffalo in the postseason, getting to the NLL Finals for each of the 4 years that he's been in Buffalo, winning the last three. Obviously, you're just hoping that you get another solid season here from Vince, get himself another opportunity for that 4 in a row. But what a career it has been for Matt Vince, and now the fact that he was so dominant in Rochester, he comes here to Buffalo, and it's almost like aging like a fine wine for him.
Yeah, it's hard to believe now. I think this is like Matt's 7th or 8th year in Buffalo, and it's almost as long as he played in Rochester. It felt like he played for the original Nighthawks franchise for forever, but now he's almost gone the same distance here in Buffalo. And Matt, as I joke every time I talk about him, Matt's the only player left on the team that's older than I am by about 3 months. But, you know, he's off to another impressive start this year. You know, he looked very good. He's looked very good in these first 2 games, typical Matt Vince. It's not always about the amount of saves he makes, but when he makes those saves, I think is one of the things best said about him. And, you know, he's you know, you got to think about it. These first 2 games, it's his first on-floor action since the finals last year. Matt didn't, you know, doesn't play any summer ball anymore, did not suit up in any of the preseason games, which he really didn't need to. So these were his first two games since the end of last season, and you know, he picked right up where he left off. So it's one of the best things about this Bandits team is having a solid backstop like Matt Vince, but he's also got a great defense around him, and they work so well with Steve Friolo and Paul Dawson and the rest of and Cam Weyers and the rest of the guys they got back there.
Dave, last one I've got for you here is they're off for a little bit of time, and then they go to Calgary to take on the Roughnecks, one of the few 0-2 teams on the season here in Calgary. Actually, the only 0-2 team. They're one of only two that has not picked up a win yet, but they're the only 0-2 team, so it is an opportunity, though, for the Bandits, though it's on the road, to make sure they get themselves back in the win column against a team that's having a rough go of it to start the year.
Yeah, I wouldn't discount the Calgary Roughnecks, and these two teams have already seen each other this year. They played in the preseason, although the Bandits, when they faced Calgary, did not have any of their veterans in the lineup. It was a very rookie-heavy lineup, so they got throttled by Calgary in the preseason, but Calgary had a more traditional roster while Buffalo was looking at a lot of talent that day. So, and this is a team, while they've lost some pieces, they've got some great young talent. You know, they're led by Tyler Pace, and they've got a great rookie in Noah Manning, who I think is going to be one of the rookie of the year candidates. They've got a good goaltender in Aiden Walsh. So, you know, it won't be easy for Buffalo to go into the Saddle Dome and face the Roughnecks. But it's definitely, I think the next two games are a good opportunity for this team to right the ship and get things headed in for the rest of the season.
It'll be fun to see what storylines unfold this time around, Dave. I mean, we all know that Dane Smith and Josh Byrne are probably going to be amongst the top 10 in NLL scoring, maybe even top 5 together, as they always seem to do. We all know that Matt Vince is going to be probably steady as it goes once again. So it'll be interesting to see what develops through the rest of this season. And I can't wait to talk to you and the rest of the gang about this on a weekly basis here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So thanks for coming on, Dave.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to talk to you guys. Have a great holiday season. And, you know, everybody should be ready to get back to Banditland that first weekend in January. That game against Las Vegas is going to be very fun with Chase and Chris Clucci coming back to town. So make sure if you're looking for last-minute gifts, you know, get some Bandits tickets for the season.
I would be very interested to see. I don't know how many video tributes are done for NLL teams, but I would imagine the Bandits might put a good package together for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure the game presentation people will be on their game for that one that night. I'm jealous. The Las Vegas opens their season this weekend, and they're already doing a Chase Fraser bobblehead.
Oh, look at that. They're trying to get the people in there. And they know Fraser's highlight. So he's highlight reel. That's how he is. All right, Dave. We'll talk to you soon enough, though. And can't wait to do this more throughout the year.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Dave Buchanan on the West Her Hotline, as this is the Bandits Update brought to you by Seneca Gaming and Entertainment. Three great locations in Irving, Salamanca, and Oil Springs. We've got your game.
By the way, real quick.
Yes.
Some NFL news. Could be interesting. Probably won't be. Anthony Richardson. Colts are activating his 21-day practice window.
You need a backup quarterback.
You need a quarterback.
But you need a backup quarterback.
You need a backup. Well, I want to see Riley Leonard do
something.
They
don't.
They very clearly do not.
They don't have any appetite to have Riley Leonard play more than he had to.
So on that.
Or Riley Leonard's knee is that messed up.
It could be.
It could be that too.
With that being said, Monday night, we know we're getting Phillip Rivers hosting San Francisco. I have talked about how I will happily move off of bad games, no problem. That is one of those bad game potentials, though. I want to bask in it.
I want to bask in it?
I like Phillip Rivers, but buddy, watching some of his plays, watching them back, because I wasn't able to watch it live, but watching them back, yeah, he looks like a guy that's been retired for a few years and is in fact 44.
Yeah, we saw what it's like. If you don't have the optimal time to prepare,
yeah,
it's not great. And like, he had 5 years. Yeah, he's not preparing with NFL speed. That's not a surprise at all. It's probably going to be like this for the rest of the year with him. They are trying to survive. And I would imagine, if I'm really going to be a cynic about this, they might put Richardson back in.
I think they should.
If he's healthy.
If he's healthy, they absolutely should.
Like, they're trying to survive, and mm-hmm. they clearly know that Riley Leonard is not it. if they go the rest of the year with him there, either Richardson's eye injury was that catastrophic or I don't know what. But yeah, like it will be interesting to see how Monday goes for them. Mostly because I don't want to necessarily have the AFC playoffs already set with 2 weeks left to go.
Who's their starting quarterback next year? Week one. I know. Because there's already reports they're moving off of Daniel Jones. He's not even under contract anyways.
Wow, yeah.
It's not going to be Phillip Rivers.
They don't have first-round picks for a little bit.
It should probably just be Anthony Richardson, but it won't
be. It won't be. He lost the job to Daniel Jones. Yes. It's over.
100%. It's probably not going to be Tua because I don't think they can take on that contract and they don't have – well, it'd be cheaper picks, but I don't think they're going to have the appetite to do that again.
They're probably not trading. You know what?
It'll be Mac Jones. Same thing. It's a trade.
I feel like it's cheaper to get Mac Jones though.
Than Tua?
Yeah.
Purely because of the contract. You're like, I can't take the contract on. Yeah. I'll give a second round pickup for Mac Jones just because it'll be cheaper.
I wouldn't even say cheaper. It's easier.
Easier, yeah.
Easier to take on Mac Jones and pay a little price for that. Also, knowing he's a stopgap. Whereas Tua might be trying to fight for a second chance.
He's a stop, and you might actually be able to be pretty good with him. He's done very well this year in San Francisco. Him and Brock Purdy kind of bouncing back and forth just due to injuries.
He was always
seen
as like the low ceiling quarterback, but it looks like that's not true. Within that draft class, he was actually probably the highest variance. He has a low floor, but when he's on his game, he actually plays pretty well.
I mean, just don't give him Matt Patricia as an offensive coordinator.
Who would have thought?
That's probably the way to not burn his career to the ground.
Thought.
Yeah, I'm just – the Colts – and the reason why I just kind of hate all of it, I don't like that a big move is going to get really punished. Like the Sauce Gardner thing, I like that they did it. It was probably always going to fail. But I now don't want half the league's GMs looking at that going, that's why we don't do that.
That's why we don't do that. That's why we don't swing for the fences. By the way, Sabres taking on the Flyers tonight. It is an ESPN Plus and Hulu game.
Yes, thank you.
The only way you're going to be able to hear Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray on the call tonight at 7:30 is going to be right here on WGR. Take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here with you on WGR.
Wrapping up a Thursday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The last 30 seconds, I've got a really fun tweet that Derek, you pointed me to.
Yes, this one coming from Chuck Bill Squatch Skelly.
Nice.
I just had to make sure I can say the name on air. It's Twitter. To tell you how important the Cat Grizz game is, referring to in Montana and Montana State that you talked about at the end of the last hour. In Montana, the cheapest ticket to the game is $700. That's double any FBS playoff game.
Oh, yeah,
and Chuck makes sure to mention, go Grizz.
I'm there. I'm watching the whole thing. All I needed was that. I'm watching the whole thing.
That's wild, though.
Because before that, I'm going to have to watch Alabama-Oklahoma tomorrow night. Two teams that hate playing offense. And I also hate Oklahoma, so that's not super fun. And then also, the first round of the FBS, I'm all for the Group of Five getting in there. But let's all be honest with ourselves. Ole Miss already played Tulane this year. They won 45-10. And James Madison is not beating Oregon, no matter how much that one James Madison Twitter account is having fun with watching slow down highlights and talking about how slow Oregon is. I've been enjoying that, but they're not winning. So give me the biggest sporting event in a state's history. I'm locked in.
Oh, my God. Secondary market. Cheapest ticket is $654.
I'm locked in.
Oh, my God.
It's
going
to be the biggest game in that state's history. I know it's Montana. I'm not here to hate on that. That's going to be fun. And, again, the winner of that will likely be a massive favorite over either Illinois State or Villanova in the FCS championship. And I don't think Montana has won a national title since I think the early 2000s, late 90s. So it's been a bit of a wait for them. I'm also just waiting for the Mountain West to get a little wild.
Over under total 55.5.
And I believe State is favored.
Favored by 4.
By 4, okay. I'm in. Thursday night football tonight. Seattle and the Rams in Seattle.
To quote Owen Parker last week on Friday, I don't know how much of that game I'm going to watch. I'm going to be getting ready for Sabres time.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's an 8:15 kickoff. Sabres are at 7:30. So you're going to be in the thick of it.
I'm going to be in the thick of it. But what is Sabres getting ready for Sabres time mean? Well, typically crying. Is one of the things. You got to mentally prepare yourself for it because both Owen picked it in the parlay and Jeremy called it a must win. So, yeah, getting ready for Sabres time tonight is absolutely going to be me crying in the corner for a second, rocking back and forth, and then sitting up, getting on the couch and going, all right, let's do this.
Sabres, by the way, big favorites, -140 tonight, home against Philadelphia. And by the way, also for Philadelphia, good for Trevor Zegras. He's leading them in goal scoring with 14.
They made a shrewd move there.
And yeah, his career in Anaheim was, I mean, well, there's a reason why he's in Philadelphia. He went from a really flashy player that
it was really all he did.
Yeah, didn't have a ton of substance to it. Now, not bad, dude.
But also, the last time Jeremy said there was a must-win game was also against Philadelphia. So if that doesn't make my stomach turn getting ready for Sabres time, well, that'll do it. So
it is going to be tough, though, to try to bounce between these two games.
I need to know.
If you're watching on television, it's going to be tough because Sabres night is ESPN Plus and Hulu, and then it's Thursday Night Football. That's Amazon Prime. You have to make some choices. I do like Seattle and the Rams.
Vladar started the last two games. They're going to put Urson in. I'm going to hate everything about my life.
You're going to get your opposite of your wish. So you might watch Seattle and the Rams. It should be a good game.
I'm not ready. I'm mentally not ready for this. Hang on. I'm looking at the fantasy hockey app now because we have a minute. I need to know.
This should be a good game. I'm excited for that. For the Sabres, it's tough. I mean, we talked about it to start the show, and this will be my final thoughts on it.
Gonna puke.
It won't mean much for the standings. It'll mean a lot for, I think, the fan base and maybe for the team as a whole behind the scenes of just being able to get that win following the removal of the general manager. But for many of us
starting also— starting our Harrison tonight.
There it is. So it might be a really tough night.
Dang it!
But also for the Sabres, and this is kind of the big thing, what else changes for the Sabres? If it's still the same coaching staff along with Ruff, that might not mean much for a lot of
you
fans.
Can't lose to Samuel Harrison again. Well, please, for the love of everything holy, do not do it again.
You said again, and they might. That game's at 7:30, pregame at 6:30. Only way to listen to Dan and Rob is going to be right here on WGR. While for the football game, that is going to be over on the Bet 1520. Coverage over there will start at 7:30 for an 8:15 kickoff. Have a wonderful rest of your week, everyone. Sabres Live coming up next. This is WGR.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.